For like 30 years, the world of computing had, well, these absolute undisputed borders.
No, completely set in stone.
Right. Intel and AMD, they owned the Windows PC.
Yep.
NVIDIA owned graphics rendering. And Apple obviously owned the mobile ecosystem.
And those borders were absolute, defended by massive patents, entrenched architectures, the works.
Exactly. But today, I mean, somebody just took a giant eraser to the entire map.
The walls aren't just shifting. They are completely coming down.
They really are. So welcome to the deep dive. Grab your coffee, pull up a chair with us, because it is Monday, June 1st, 2026. And today's source material is just, it's a massive industry-rattling edition of Tekken Morning.
It really is a historic day.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because our mission today for you, the listener, is to cut through the bloated spec sheets, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out how today's hardware and platform announcements are fundamentally rewriting the rules of the tech you interact with every single day.
And we are looking at a total paradigm shift here. It's rare to see the traditional boundaries of computing like between the central processor and the graphics card, or between legacy hardware and bleeding edge hardware, just dissolve.
Even between physical and digital spaces, honestly.
Right, right. They are all dissolving simultaneously. But across all the sources today, that is exactly what we are seeing.
And I think the absolute epicenter of this earthquake is NVIDIA.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because at Computex 2026, NVIDIA didn't just, you know, announce a new graphics card to slot into an existing machine. They officially crashed the PC processor party.
They really did.
They are breaking the decades-old by 86 duopoly of Intel and AMG with this brand new all-in-one chip, the RTX Spark.
Which is just a monumental pivot. I mean, for the entirety of modern desktop computing history, Intel and AMD have effectively operated the brain of the Windows PC.
Right.
But NVIDIA is stepping in to change the underlying architecture with an ARM-based processor.
And they didn't do it alone.
Yeah. No, no. They co-designed this with MediaTek. And it's built on TSMC's 3-nanometer process.
Which is tiny.
Incredibly efficient. They are packing 20 ARM cores on there. So that's 10 Cortex X925s for high-end performance and 10 Cortex A725s for background efficiency.
Right.
And they are putting those right alongside 6,144 of their own Blackwell CUDA cores.
That is just an insane number of cores to have on one die.
In practical terms, they have basically fused the equivalent of a discrete RTX 5070 graphics card directly into the central processor.
And that fusion delivers one petaflop of AI compute, which, if you're wondering, is 1 quadrillion operations per second.
It's hard to even wrap your head around that number.
It is. But to really understand the mechanics of why this breaks the traditional map, we kind of need to talk about unified memory.
Yeah, that's the secret sauce here.
So the Spark supports up to 128 gigabytes of LPDDR5X unified memory. And let me put it this way for you. In traditional PC computing, your CPU and your GPU are like two entirely separate factory buildings.
Right, sitting across town from each other.
Exactly. So whenever they need to collaborate on rendering a video or, say, generating an AI image, the workers basically have to load up a bunch of trucks with parts, drive them down a highway.
Which in computing is the PCIe bottleneck.
Right. They drive down that highway, unload the trucks at the other factory, do the work, and then load it all back up and drive the results all the way back.
Which is terribly inefficient.
It takes physical time, it drains massive amounts of energy,
uh-huh.
And there is literally always a traffic jam on that highway.
Which is exactly why traditional gaming laptops sound like literal jet engines and die after an hour on battery.
Exactly.
But the RTX Spark knocks down the walls of both those factories. It puts every single worker into one massive, highly efficient warehouse.
Yes.
That 128 gigabyte shared pool of memory means the CPU and the GPU never have to copy and transfer data back and forth. They're just pulling from the exact same pile of resources simultaneously.
And the performance claims reflecting that efficiency were just wild. I mean, NVIDIA says you can render a 90 gigabyte 3D scene, edit 12K resolution video in real time, or even play a massive AAA title like Indiana Jones and the Great Circle at 100 frames per second at 1440p.
That's desktop level performance.
Right. But here is the kicker. You can do all of this in a laptop that is 14 millimeters thick, running entirely on battery power without it melting a hole right through your desk.
It's incredible engineering.
But looking at NVIDIA's current business model, this kind of feels like they're pointing a highly lucrative weapon directly at themselves, doesn't it?
Well, what's fascinating here is that this move could aggressively cannibalize NVIDIA's own discrete laptop GPU business.
Because why buy the separate card?
Exactly. If this single integrated Spark chip actually delivers RTX 5070 level performance without all that thermal overhead, laptop manufacturers are simply going to stop buying separate NVIDIA graphics cards for their thin and light premium machines.
Which wipes out a massive revenue stream for them. So why pull the trigger on that?
Because Apple forced their hand.
The M series.
Yep. NVIDIA has been watching Apple completely dominate the creative professional market with their M series chips for the last 6 years. Apple proved that ARM-based unified memory systems are the undeniable future of efficiency.
Right, you can't fight the physics.
You can't.
Yeah.
And if NVIDIA didn't create a unified chip for Windows, eventually Qualcomm or AMD would figure it out, and then NVIDIA would be locked out of the mobile AI market entirely.
They'd be totally obsolete in laptops.
Right. So they had to disrupt their own highly profitable GPU sales. Capturing the AI developer and creative market on Windows is just a prize they simply cannot afford to lose.
So NVIDIA has effectively built a revolutionary Formula One engine here.
Basically, yeah.
But, you know, you can't just drop an F1 engine into a standard commuter car chassis. You need hardware explicitly engineered around that new power, which naturally brings us to the first machine actually utilizing the Spark.
Right, the body for the brain.
Microsoft's newly unveiled Surface Laptop Ultra.
And Microsoft clearly coordinated this launch. I mean, hours after the Spark announcement, they revealed this 15-inch flagship device, and they really didn't hold back on the chassis.
Right all.
It features a mini LED display with 262 pixels per inch and 1600 nits of peak brightness.
Which is blinding.
It's extremely bright. It weighs 4.5 pounds and it incorporates Thunderbolt 5, which gives you 80 gigabits per second of bandwidth.
Let's translate those specs into actual utility for a second. Mm-hmm. Microsoft put a 1600 nit screen and Thunderbolt 5 into this machine for one very specific demographic.
Right.
They are hunting Apple's high-end video editors. Because you do not need those specs to run spreadsheets.
No, definitely not.
You need 1600 nits for color-accurate HDR video rendering. And you need 80 gigabits of bandwidth to stream multiple uncompressed 8K monitors all at once.
And beyond the creative professionals, they're heavily targeting the corporate sector with local AI capabilities.
Yeah, talk about that because this is huge.
Microsoft claims this machine can run 70 billion parameter AI models locally.
Locally. On the laptop.
Yes. And that is a threshold that completely changes how businesses operate. Running a model that massive entirely on local hardware means, say, a corporate lawyer can feed highly confidential merger documents into an AI to find contractual loopholes.
Without that sensitive data ever pinging a public cloud server?
Exactly. It offers zero latency and absolute data privacy.
But, and I have to push back here. Let's look at this objectively. We have seen Microsoft try ARM-based Windows devices before.
We have.
The Surface RT back in 2012 was a total disaster. The Surface Pro X in 2019 struggled massively because the software emulation for legacy apps was just terrible.
Oh, it was painfully slow.
And this Surface Laptop Ultra is going to cost anywhere from $2,499 to over $4,000 for the maxed out version. So wait, didn't we see this movie before? Why would you, the listener, drop $2,500 on an ARM Windows laptop when the software ecosystem might still be full of bugs and missing apps?
The historical skepticism is completely warranted. The lack of ARM native applications, particularly those heavy, complex suites from companies like Adobe or Autodesk, is a glaring threat.
It's the main reason people hesitate.
Right. And relying on software emulation drains battery and bottlenecks performance, which totally defeats the purpose of the RTX Spark in the first place.
Exactly.
However, Microsoft and NVIDIA have a trump card this time around. Full native CDA support.
Which is basically the bedrock of AI development.
Precisely. CDA is NVIDIA's parallel computing platform. If you are building AI today, you are building it on CUDA. Because the Surface Laptop Ultra has that native support built directly into the Spark, along with that one petaflop of AI compute, it instantly becomes the ultimate local sandbox for AI researchers.
Oh, so they don't care about the average consumer right now.
Exactly. Microsoft doesn't need this $4,000 laptop to win over general consumers or college students right now. They just need the lucrative AI developer niche to adopt it.
Make the developers happy and the apps will follow.
Right. If the power users migrate to this architecture, the broader software ecosystem will be forced to follow suit.
Okay, so NVIDIA and Microsoft are essentially asking you to buy into a completely new, very expensive ground-up architecture.
Yeah, that's their play.
But looking at our next source, AMD is executing the exact opposite strategy. I
Right.
mean, they are literally rewarding you financially for keeping your aging hardware.
It is a really striking contrast in corporate philosophy. At that same Computex event, AMD announced two processors. First, the Ryzen 7 7700X3D for their modern AM5 platform, which is priced competitively at $329.
Pretty standard stuff.
Right. But the announcement that shook the enthusiast community was their second chip.
The Ryzen 7 5800X3D returning as a 10th anniversary edition for $349. And the critical detail here is the platform it runs on. It supports the AM4 motherboard platform.
A socket design that is over a decade old.
Which, here's where it gets really interesting. Why would a company actively encourage you not to buy their newest motherboards? Isn't releasing a new chip for a decade-old system just bad for their bottom line? It feels like they are actively shooting their own Q3 profits in the foot here.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's actually a brilliant brand-building strategy. It's a direct attack on Intel's notorious forced upgrade cycles.
Oh, right, the motherboard tax.
Exactly. Historically, Intel forces its users to upgrade their motherboards every 2 to 3 years by subtly changing the physical socket shape of the processor.
So annoying.
It really is. If you want a faster Intel brain, you are forced to rip out your entire computer's nervous system. You have to buy a new motherboard, pull your entire rig apart, reroute all the cables, reinstall your operating system.
It is so expensive, it's time-consuming, and deeply frustrating for the consumer.
But by releasing the 5800X3D for the AM4 platform today and publicly promising to support their new AM5 platform all the way through 2029, AMD is drawing a very clear line in the sand regarding consumer trust.
They are saying, your investment is safe here.
They're sending a message. This move allows millions of gamers on tight budgets to achieve near top-tier gaming performance for just $349 simply by dropping a new chip into their old system.
Which is amazing value.
It is. And from a pragmatic business perspective, it also quietly clears out AMD's massive backlog of AM4 inventory.
However,
But the real yield is fierce generational consumer loyalty. When those users finally do need to build a new system from scratch in 2029, they aren't going to even look at Intel.
yeah, they'll stick with the brand that didn't force them to upgrade. That fundamentally changes the expected lifespan of our desktop machines.
Absolutely.
But computing is no longer confined to the desk, right?
Sure.
The processing power is bleeding out into our physical environments and, well, according to the roadmaps, directly onto our faces,
Yes.
which shifts us perfectly into the ambient AI race between Google and Apple.
And much like the hardware strategies we just discussed, we are seeing two completely divergent approaches to where computers actually live.
Right.
According to Tech and Morning, Google is aggressively pushing to make AI a seamless part of your home environment. So on June 25th, they are launching the new Google Home Speaker for $99.99.
$100.
Yep. It comes in four colors: berry, hazel, jade, and porcelain. It features 360-degree audio, and critically, it supports the Matter Smart Home Standard.
Right, and Matter is essentially the universal translator for smart home tech.
Exactly.
It means this Google device will seamlessly communicate with your smart blinds or your smart locks, regardless of what brand manufactured them. But the real shift is that this speaker is powered by Gemini, Google's advanced large language model.
Which changes the whole interaction.
Totally. We aren't talking about the old Google Assistant where you nervously barked these rigid commands like set timer 10 minutes and just hoped it understood your syntax.
Right. Gemini allows for actual contextual memory. You can have natural flowing conversations. You can ask it complex, multi-step questions, and it remembers what you said 3 sentences ago.
So Google's strategy is omnipresence. By pricing it under $100 and making it look nice in various colors, they essentially want you to place an AI node in every single room of your house.
They are treating AI like a basic household utility. Cheap, accessible, and running in the background like electricity or water.
Right. But Apple, on the other hand, is treating spatial computing like high fashion.
They always do.
The report notes that Apple's sleek smart glasses have been delayed to late 2027. And their more affordable spatial computing headset, the Vision Air, which is still going to cost between $1,500 and $2,000, is delayed all the way to 2029.
That's a long wait.
It is. Apple is explicitly targeting the $200 billion global eyewear market, which is currently ruled by massive fashion conglomerates like Luxottica. They're the company behind Ray-Ban and Oakley.
Right.
But I have to push back on Apple's timeline here. Is Apple being too patient? I mean, Meta has already sold millions of pairs of their Ray-Ban smart glasses. Are they just seeding a massive new market by waiting until 2027 to even enter the chat?
This raises an important question about the vast difference between being the first to market and being socially accepted.
Okay, fair point.
Apple is executing the exact same playbook they used for the Apple Watch. When the watch first launched, the broader culture thought it was a niche, weird gadget for tech geeks.
Right.
Today, it is the best-selling watch in the world, far surpassing Rolex.
They just let everyone else do the beta testing.
Exactly. They let their competitors make all the expensive, socially embarrassing mistakes. Apple watched Google Glass fail spectacularly because of massive privacy backlashes. I mean, early adopters were mockingly called glass holes.
Oh, I remember that.
And they are watching Meta achieve modest financial success right now, but Meta still struggles to make the glasses look entirely normal. They still look slightly bulky.
Because the physics of the hardware are just incredibly difficult to hide.
Exactly. Apple is waiting for two specific underlying technologies to fully mature. Micro OLED displays and high density solid state batteries.
Oh, I'm solid state.
You can't put heavy, potentially volatile lithium ion batteries on someone's face and expect it to look sleek. Solid state batteries are lighter, denser, and much safer. Yeah. When Apple finally releases glasses, they cannot look like a piece of sci-fi hardware. They have to look like a high-end fashion accessory you would buy at a boutique. Solving the social stigma of walking around with cameras and screens on your face is actually much harder than solving the software engineering.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Apple is taking the time to get the social engineering right.
Precisely.
Well, if Apple and Google succeed in putting a spatial computing and ambient AI overlay onto our physical world, the way we interact with everything changes, including how we transact.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you are making micro purchases through your glasses, or your AI is managing subscriptions in the background, the traditional banking system, with its three-day settlement periods and high transaction fees, is simply too slow to handle it.
It wasn't built for that speed.
No. You need financial plumbing that settles in seconds. Which brings us to how the world's second largest digital market is shifting today. Coinbase's move in India is so wildly strategic.
The scale of this infrastructure play is staggering. Coinbase has officially entered India's $3 billion crypto market.
Massive.
And they are integrating at the foundational level with direct Indian rupee support via IMPS, which is India's instant payment system.
To no middleman.
Right. This allows for 247 deposits and withdrawals directly from local bank accounts. And to aggressively capture market share from Binance and local exchanges, Coinbase is just eating the cost and offering zero-fee deposits.
And when you look at the demographics, you see exactly why they are willing to take that initial loss to acquire users.
Mm-hmm.
India has 150 million crypto users, and the market is growing at 40% annually.
It's explosive growth.
But the craziest statistic from the report is this. 65% of India's population is under the age of 35.
Wow.
That is a massive generation of digital natives. India already processes more digital transactions than the U.S. and China combined. The population is entirely comfortable with digital money moving instantly on their phones.
It's an economy perfectly primed for Web3 adoption.
But so what does this all actually mean for Coinbase? Because there's a massive elephant in the room that the optimistic PR ignores.
The tax.
Yes. India imposes a brutal 30% tax on crypto transactions, and it's deducted right at the source. If you are a young trader in Mumbai, giving up nearly a third of your gains immediately is a tough pill to swallow. How can Coinbase expect to build a thriving user base with that kind of financial penalty hanging over every single trade?
It sounds totally counterintuitive, but for giant, publicly traded financial corporations like Coinbase, strict regulatory clarity is far superior to regulatory uncertainty, even if that clarity comes in the form of a harsh 30% tax.
They're the devil you know.
Exactly. When a government heavily taxes an asset, they are implicitly recognizing its existence and legalizing the framework around it. Coinbase knows exactly what the rules of the game are in India now. They can build infrastructure without the lingering fear of a sudden overnight ban from the central bank.
They prefer a highly taxed, clearly marked playing field over an unregulated minefield.
Precisely. But the real masterstroke here isn't just about retail traders buying Bitcoin. It's a long-term infrastructure play targeting the remittance market.
Oh, the cross-border payments.
Yes. India is the largest recipient of remittances in the world. Over $100 billion flows into the country annually from Indian citizens working abroad.
And traditional legacy systems like Western Union can take days to settle and charge exorbitant percentage fees.
Exactly. Crypto rails can settle those cross-border transactions in 3 seconds for fractions of a cent.
That is the ultimate goal.
If a worker in Dubai wants to send money back to Mumbai, and Coinbase can capture even a fraction of that $100 billion flow by providing a compliant, instant off-ramp into Indian rupees via IMPS, well, the zero-fee deposits they are offering today will look like the greatest bargain in the history of finance.
They aren't just building a trading app. They are attempting to replace the underlying rails of global money movement.
That's the real game.
Today really is a masterclass in watching an entire industry pivot at once. I mean, the internal walls of the PC are coming down, with NVIDIA and Microsoft redefining what a computer actually is through unified memory and massive local AI processing. Right. AMD is redefining platform loyalty, refusing to force consumers into a walled garden of planned obsolescence. Google and Apple are fighting to redefine where computers live, moving them out of our offices, seamlessly into our living rooms, and eventually right onto our faces.
As high fashion, no less.
Exactly. And beneath all of it, Coinbase is laying down the financial plumbing for the generation that is going to interact with and pay for this entirely new reality.
It is a total architectural reset across hardware, software, and finance.
And whether you are a developer compiling dense code on that new Surface Laptop Ultra, or a gamer slotting a new AMD chip into your old motherboard, or just someone asking Gemini to turn off the lights, the architecture of your daily life just shifted.
The old map is definitely gone.
It is.
You know, before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
If we connect the dots between all these seemingly separate announcements, a rather profound and maybe slightly terrifying future emerges. We talked about that Surface Laptop Ultra running massive 70 billion parameter AI models locally, completely untethered on battery power.
Right.
Well, what happens when those local hyper-powerful AIs start interacting directly with platforms like Coinbase? You might soon have a personalized AI agent sitting in your backpack, legally executing trades and managing your wealth over a 5G connection while you grab a coffee.
Oh, wow.
Totally outside the traditional banking system. So the question is, where does the human fit in when the hardware gets that smart?
Man, the walls haven't just come down between the CPU and the GPU. The walls between the machines, autonomous decisions, and our own lives are dissolving right in front of us.
It's wild to think about.
We're all exploring this brand new territory together.
Yeah.
Keep questioning the map, stay curious, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.